Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Darren really outdid himself today. Great, big, giant show. And I say that with all sincerity. Second hour, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers will be here with us. We're going to talk about balancing faith and life and work. And not that those are all different things, but finding the balance there. It's a hard one. And this hour, we talk about bringing the faith home. This is probably one of the most common things that we hear, when, especially when people ask for prayers from our chaplain and whatnot, is that somehow the faith has failed in my home. Children or a child have not accepted the faith. My wife and I are struggling in the faith. We wish we had passed it on better, all those kinds of things. And I think that's probably a common story around the country and maybe today even around the world. So we talk about the practical side of bringing the faith home. If you have a question about that, if you'd like some help and direction in that area, 888-318-7884. And we have news about an exciting new project being undertaken in that area today as well. So during this hour, we will discuss that. Our guest is Dr. Greg Popchak, the founder and director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, a Catholic telecounseling practice providing faithful solutions to tough marriage, family, and personal problems. He's a psychotherapist with dozens of books, and he and his wife Lisa host More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak each weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. Central on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Dr. Popchak, thanks for being with us today.
It's terrific to be here, so I thank you.
I hear that you are in balmy -3 where you are, and I say yeah. some of the country, it's crazy how cold it is.
Yeah, no, it compared to some other places, I had nothing to complain about, but it is, it's -3 without the wind chill here in Steubenville, Ohio.
Yeah, it's dangerously cold in some places, and so, keep folks in our prayers and just ask you to be careful. So you have a symposium you're working on that deals with this very area we're talking about today, faith in the family setting. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Well, that's right. Yeah. So the Pastoral Solutions Institute, my organization, is organizing a symposium on Catholic family life and spirituality. It's being supported by the OSB Institute, Holy Cross Family Ministries, and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame. And we're meeting in July. What we're doing is we're gathering about 30 professional theologians, social scientists, and pastoral ministry folks who are internationally recognized for their work and writing on family life. And we're trying to look at what can we do to renew Catholic family life, to help households really live and experience the faith in a more meaningful way at home, to raise dynamically faithful kids, to experience an authentically domestic church-based spirituality. For example, a lot of what we think of as Catholic spirituality is largely drawn from the clerical and monastic tradition, right? So what that means is that we get a lot of calls on our radio program, for example, I'm sure you guys have heard this too, that, people will say, oh, I had a great prayer life, and then I got married and had kids, as if somehow the marriage and family vocation is, hostile to spiritual growth. And that doesn't make any sense, but the fact is, in our church's history, no one's really ever considered the question, what should a domestic church-based spirituality look like that actually fits with messy family life? Historically, it was just, whatever you guys can do, you can borrow it from the monastic and clerical traditions, but, you work it out. We're going to actually try to get together in July with this high-level meeting and really talk more about what does a dynamic Catholic domestic church look like. Are Catholic families called to look different than other families somehow in the way we relate to each other as husbands and wives and parents and kids? How can we experience Jesus as another member of the family in the household, right? How can we raise kids to be excited about their faith and on fire for the Lord? How can families partner with the church in the mission of building the kingdom of God? How can we do a better job of really empowering families to do what God created families to do?
It's such a, I just get so excited hearing you talk about that, because we do have all through the history of the church these new movements that, spiritual movements that respond to the needs of the time, whether it's the founding of the the monasteries or the mendicant orders and all that. And people, I think, really feel a sense of shame and guilt. I know I do sometimes about having failed somehow in the family to communicate the faith as well as we wanted to our children. But it's exciting to think, well, maybe that's because this is a pregnant moment. We need a new way of thinking about family spirituality.
And you know, the good news is, in the last decade or so, there's been a lot of really good research in what's called faith transmission, you know, the idea of passing the faith on from one generation to the other. And the research has really been looking at, what does it take, you know, with those families that are successful by hook or crook, how do they manage to pass the faith on to the next generation and have kids who really kind of take it? And it's removing some, not all, but some of the guesswork from the equation. And so we're going to be looking at some of that research. Are you looking at that through the lens of the Catholic vision of what family life should be? And we're really excited about this. And even though, you know, people have asked, well, you know, can everybody come to this symposium? And no, it's an invitation-only gathering, because we really want to try to get together all the best people who are really studying this question so that we can come up with some good, solid answers and information we can give to people. But we want all of the listeners to participate in this symposium. And what we've done is we've created a survey that's on the website at cflsymposium.org. That's for Catholic Family Life Symposium, cflsymposium.org. And if folks go there, they can respond to the four major questions that we're going to be debating and discussing at the event. And we're going to take all the information, all the insights that your listeners want to share with us from that survey and share that with the group of folks that are gathering for that. So their voices will be heard as well, and their experiences will be taken into account as well.
So anybody can participate. Just go to that cflsymposium.org site and answer the questions, and that will be helpful.
Yeah. Yep, just scroll on down to "We Want to Know What You Think," the heading there, and then click the survey link and answer the questions there. It'll ask you some questions about how you experienced the faith at home and what you've tried to do to maybe pass the faith on to your kids or pray together as a family, or the struggles that you've encountered in that. Because we want to just get a good overview of what the contemporary experience is of Catholic families. So wherever you're at in that journey, we'd love to hear from you at cflsymposium.org. Just take that survey there. But you're right. It's a pregnant moment. I think, you know, the Vatican II called for the universal call to holiness. It was sort of a novel idea then, you know, that it wasn't just lay people, clergy and religious, that were called to holiness, that everyone, including lay people, including married couples and families, were called to holiness. And the idea of the domestic church being a partner with the church in building the kingdom was also a relatively novel innovation of the Second Vatican Council. But, you know, 60 years on, we've not really done a whole lot with it. You know, there's been a fair amount of higher-level theology defining what the Catholic vision of marriage and family life looks like, but the practical theology of it, you know, hasn't really been developed. So, you know, you ask even really devout Catholic families, well, what makes Catholic family life different, you know, on the ground than your neighbor's household? You know, and I don't think anybody's really able to answer that, because we haven't really discussed the question in any meaningful way.
888-318-7884 is our number here. We welcome your calls on bringing the faith home today, whether a question or a comment for Dr. Greg Popcheck. 888-318-7884. That address, cflsymposium.org. If you're driving, or if maybe you're listening to the podcast later, and you want to get that address, it'll be in the show notes. Nick will put it in the show notes for you, so it's easy to access, and that's at Catholic.com. 888-318-7884. Are you hoping that you'll come out of this symposium with a statement or a plan of action?
We're hoping to come up with a lot of practical recommendations. So we're going to at least produce a book that will be more of an academic book, but then we're going to adapt that for everybody so that we have a lot of accessible practical recommendations for parents, for pastors, for pastoral ministers who want to help to animate Catholic family life. We're going to be making recommendations to publishers and other content producers for what kind of resources families need to really live their mission more effectively. We're going to also be launching at that event the Catholic Family Life Institute. And that's going to be an organization who will be responsible for continuing this conversation with original research, with other events that will hopefully be even larger than this and maybe even open to the public, of new resources. So, you know, this is really a long-term commitment, thanks to the OSV Institute, a long-term commitment to the renewal of Catholic family life.
888-318-7884. We're talking about bringing the faith home to the family. If that's an issue in your life, or maybe if you anticipate it being an issue in your life, and it is for almost everybody, give us a call. 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest for this hour. 888-31-TRUTH. And it's almost the end of January. I think I only get to say this today and tomorrow. Our pro-life sale, it continues for pro-life month at shop.catholic.com. You just go over to shop.catholic.com. You click on the $5 pro-life category, and everything in our catalog that is related to life issues, including Made This Way by Trent Horn and Layla Miller, is on sale for just $5, because we want to do our part for pro-life month. Shop.catholic.com, $5 pro-life banner, and get your stuff for pro-life, all your pro-life stuff there for $5 right now.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We promised it. We're delivering it a great big giant Wednesday for you today. This hour we have Dr. Greg Popcheck with us. You hear him on mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network with More to Life. He and his wife Lisa do that program. If you want to find out about the Catholic counseling part of his life, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. The symposium that we've been discussing on Faith and the Family is, you can find at cflsymposium.org. Take the survey there. It would be very helpful to those who will be participating in that symposium. Also recommend a couple books for you from Dr. Popcheck, Discovering God Together. That's about the family, Discovering God Together. And then Praying For and With Your Spouse, also about the same topic from the perspective of a married couple. Lots of folks already on the line. We appreciate the calls. 888-318-7884. Let's start this segment with Travis in Boise, Idaho, listening on 102.3 FM. Travis, I hope you're warm and safe and well. Your question for Dr. Popcheck.
I was just curious. It seems that the father figure is quite influential on the family and passing on the faith and being the spiritual leader. I'm just wondering how much that's going to play a part in this symposium. And I mean, it seems like study after study is showing that if the father is highly involved in his faith, then that will trickle down to the rest of the family. And so I'm just curious what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The father involvement is critical. And it's not enough, by the way, that the father would be involved or highly religious. He has to be taking charge of the faith formation in the home, where dads are kind of being both, by the way, responsible for the primary faith formation in the home and also gentle disciplinarians, those two things kind of working together, where dads kind of, instead of being heavy-handed, are able to walk kids through the consequences of things and kind of teach better ways to behave. Those two things together, where fathers are really discipling their children, both in faith and values and in a healthy way of living, that's where kids especially are much, much more likely to own their faith as adults, which is not to say that, moms are doomed if they don't have that father's support, but they are working uphill. The reality is, in the psychology of kids, dad represents the first other, right? For the first couple of years, the kid doesn't even really know that he's separate from his mom, right? It makes sense because he was part of his mom's body, right? So the first year or two, he still thinks of himself as part of mom. And so whatever mom does, there's a sort of gut-level sense that that's what you do privately. That's what I do, by myself. But dad represents first other, right? And he represents to me how the world works. So if dad is faithful, that's going to show me that the world, I'm supposed to be faithful out there in the world, right? So where mom is just faithful, faith becomes something that I kind of do privately and quietly by myself or at home. But where dad is faithful, he shows me that that's how I kind of pack up my show and take it on the road. And so that's how mom and dad work really well, importantly, together to help a child own the faith and then take it out into the world as well.
What do you make of that, Travis?
I agree, with that. This kind of topic just fires me up because I see, I think a lot of parishes, they're constantly trying to search how to get people involved and how to, get young families to church. And I just really feel like I see a big tide turning with men getting more involved with their faith. And I want to continue to see that. So I'm just hoping that there's a lot more material out there for guys to get involved in their faith and why they need to be involved with their faith and things like that.
Sure. Hey, can I make a suggestion to you? I have a book called The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. And what it does is it looks at how men can really become fathers after the father's own heart. And each chapter looks at a beatitude in light of the fatherhood of God and how men can begin to appreciate first their sonship as sons of God, then as partner to their wife, and then father to their children, and how each of those beatitudes reflects how men can be those godly fathers. I'd really, based on the passion that you have for this topic, I really encourage you to check out Beatitudes. I think you'd really get a lot out of it.
Travis, thanks very much. And don't forget, you can participate too. Just go over to cflsymposium.org and answer the questions there. It will be helpful to those who are undertaking to understand and move forward the spirituality of the family for the modern world. Let's go to Joe in Worcester, Mass., one of my favorite places in the world, listening on 12:30 a.m. Joe, your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Dr. Greg, I just want to say right out of the gate, I want to say that I enjoy listening to you every morning. You do a real great job. Your show is fantastic. Thank you for being here.
God bless you,
but the
Joe.
Question
thanks,
I have
I really
is,
appreciate that.
You're very welcome. You're very knowledgeable on Scripture. I really enjoy listening to your show. But anyway, so the question I have is, why aren't the CCD teachers more informed or more educated before they teach the young children? And more specifically, just recently confirmed students that wind up teaching young CCD students when we could use the retired religious as valuable resources.
Dr. Popchak?
Yeah.
Well, this isn't really my area so much, but I can say that every diocese is a little different in what they do for preparing religious educators, and a lot of those folks are volunteers. I think the problem, as far as I'm concerned, is that we're not doing really efficient or effective formation of Catholics in general. That most Catholics are really pretty poorly informed about their faith, and you take somebody who doesn't have a great foundation, and you give them an 8-week course in basic religion, and then you set them out to teach the course, so we need to do more all over to form Catholics more effectively. So, I can't really specifically respond to that particular question because, like I said, every diocese has a different training program for their religious educators. But by and large, we need to do a better job of forming all Catholics to be able to proclaim the faith and teach the next generation.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks very much. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Are we in a little bit, I'm just following up on Joe's question, we are in a little bit of a chicken and an egg situation where we need to be better formed so that we can fully live the faith, and we need to be fully living the faith so we can find out why we need to be better
absolutely.
Formed?
You're right on there. You know, and I think, well, you know, Joe's point about retired religious, I mean, I think they're doing all that they can, but we've leaned for a really long time in the church on clergy and religious, and that's good. That's what they're there for. But we also have fewer of them than ever, you know. And I don't think the church is really caught up with the fact that we need a more dynamic and formed laity in order to fill that gap. And so that's sort of what we're struggling with right now. And that's what this symposium is really all about. How do we create another generation of truly faithful, on fire, informed Catholics that are raised in the family? You know, we spend so much energy as a church. So many of our ministry efforts are focused on gathering lost sheep that should never have been lost in the first place. How can we, as a church, do a better job of empowering families to teach and live the faith in their homes so that our kids, you know, have this in their bones? And they grow up to be passionately in love with the church and on fire for God in their adulthood. Yeah, I mean, I got to say, to my parents' credit, that's how I felt. You know, I went. My mom and dad were involved in the Charismatic Renewal, and they were going to prayer meetings. You know, when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, and my mom would look around and see that a lot of the other parents weren't bringing their kids, and it broke her heart because she felt that faith should bring families together. So she went to the leader of the prayer group and said, you know, Tom, you should have something for kids. And he looked at her and said, great, next week you should have something. And so she started doing a children's ministry.
Wow.
And at that point, she actually adapted the what's called Life in the Spirit adapted it for kids. And I went through it when I was 6. And it hit hard. It stuck. And I went through all my sacraments then after having gone through Life in the Spirit and really had a personal connection with all the sacraments going up. So even when I was, you know, in high school and college, and I would have my little faith struggles and, you know, issues with family and friends and all that, I might get mad at God, but I couldn't imagine going anywhere else because who would I be without him, right?
Yes.
And I want that. I want that for every single kid. That's what God wants for his children, and I want to do whatever I can to help families give their kids that experience.
I do think the homeschooling movement has been part of that. Parents wanting and maybe having trouble finding the educational setting that will light the kids on fire, that will really give them confidence in the sacraments like that. Are you satisfied with the results we're getting from the Catholic homeschooling movement?
Oh, I mean, I think homeschooling is terrific. I mean, and my wife and I have homeschooled all of our kids, you know, through high school. It's awesome. I will say that homeschooling alone isn't going to do it, though, because faith formation isn't purely an intellectual thing, right? It's an emotional thing. It's a falling in love with God thing. And so if you're homeschooling and you're able to give your kids a real personal, tangible experience of Jesus as part of your household, well, that's great, but you know what? If you can do that and your kids are going to public school, that'll work too. The point is, you know, how do we as parents give our kids that experience of Christ as a real-life person who loves them and is part of their family life? And how do we introduce Jesus to our kids in that way so that they know he's real? You know, there was a recent study, I forget who did it now, but it was it found that the kids who announce themselves to be atheists often determine that they're atheists by between age 11 and 13.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Now, that's terrible. And what that says is that, you know, we've got a bunch of kids who've heard about God, but who've never met him. You know, if somebody wrote a book saying that my mother didn't exist, I wouldn't have to have a degree in physics to call the guy an idiot, because I've met my mom. But if we've got kids who are being told about God but never met him, of course they're going to say by 11 or 13 years old that they don't believe in him because they don't know who he is. They just heard stories about him. And when you hit that 11, 12, 13, that's when stories die. That's when we stop believing in fables. And that's when our kids are giving up the faith, because they've not met Jesus Christ in a meaningful, personal way in their households.
And that's the rub, isn't it? Like, how do we, as families, make that happen in a personal way that matters to our children, or that makes that crucial difference to the children?
And that's what we're going to be talking about at the symposium. That's right.
We're talking with Dr. Greg Pupchek. You know him from More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. He is the founder of an organization that does telecounseling.
Telecounseling, marriage, family, and personal counseling. It's a full-service mental health practice, but it's completely Catholic integrated. I have 10 therapists that work with me. We do over 15,000 sessions a year with Catholics all over the world.
That's Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can find out all about it at CatholicCounselors.com. If you have questions about bringing the faith home, really sharing the faith in the context of the home, we'd love to hear from you. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is the Church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team talks about keeping kids at Mass or kicking them out.
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, Si.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Si Killett, your host, joined by EWTN radio superstar Dr. Greg Pupchek. This hour, we're talking about.
Wow, I got a promotion.
Did you? You didn't see the letter that came out from EWTN that we're now to refer to you as a superstar? No, I'm sorry.
I like it. I'm hiring you, man.
That's Tom Price. You know, he sends these notes around to us, and he sent around.
Oh, yeah.
And said, please refer to Dr. Greg as superstar.
Okay. I'll have to check that with Tom.
Yeah. Well, no, don't check that with Tom. You can just take my word for it.
That's my thought.
888-318-7884 is the number. We are talking about bringing the faith home to where, well, home is where the family is. And I think you'd have to probably have your head buried under a rock not to realize that at home we are having trouble sharing the faith with children. We're having trouble with children who are easily swayed by all the internet stuff, or they are prey to the negativity there, or to the shallowness and meanness that's there, and losing their faith. And we don't want that to happen. And Dr. Pupchek has proposed that what we really need to do is start rethinking spirituality in the family. This is one of the most fascinating points I've heard you make, that this is actually something the church has not done before, thought about, well, how do we live a full spiritual life within the family? Because we have focused on the spiritual lives of monks and of priests and nuns and mendicants and all that, but we need a more fully developed spiritual kind of understanding and program for the family.
Yeah, and it's kind of shocking. I mean, you know, the first couple hundred years of the church, of course, the church was taking root in families, and,
yeah.
and it grew out of family life.
Right.
But then, you know, as you know, the sort of the monastic movement started to take over, the entire focus of Catholic spirituality became that. You know, that and understandably, I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. It's just that it prevented us from being able to look at what does a spirituality that really takes into account messy family life actually look like.
Right.
And in this day and age now, where you have a society that is not supportive of religion, is not supportive of faith, is barely supportive, if at all, of family life,
right.
The more and more responsibility is put on individuals, mothers and fathers, to figure out how to do this. You know, we can't just look to the neighbors, and you know, we don't just walk to church anymore and hang out with other faithful families all day long and just learn it by osmosis. We got to figure this out, and so there has to be some way to sit down and actually articulate what does this really look like in practice, and how can we intentionally start to create families that are strong and faithful, and exercise a strong spirituality in the home.
All right, back to the phones we go. Dave in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on 740 AM. You are up next with Dr. Greg Popchak. Your question, please.
Dr. Popchak, are you familiar with something called the Apollos Project? It's something within the Evangelical Church that addresses this issue.
I'm not, but I'm happy to look at it. What we're doing is, you know, we're looking at all the research that everybody can use, whether regardless of what faith they are. So, for example, Vern Benson at the University of Southern California, he did a book with Oxford University Press called Faith and Families, terrific resource. Justin Barkus and Christian Smith at the University of Notre Dame did another study that took a look at faith transmission. So we're looking at all the stuff that is sort of the foundational stuff that programs like the one you mentioned would be drawing from. And we're looking at that. Also, we're looking at another great professor, Darshan Narvaez. She's a developmental psychologist at Notre Dame who's going to be presenting on kind of the neurobiology of moral development. How can parents help kids wire their brains to be able to think morally and think in virtuous ways? There's some fascinating stuff out there. So we're going to be bringing it all in. So, yeah, absolutely, we're open to all that information.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Dave, for that call. We're talking about bringing the faith home with Dr. Greg Popchak today. The number, 888-31-TRUTH. Let's go to Rose in Grand Isle, Nebraska, listening on 91.5 FM. Rose, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy your show, Dr. Popchak, and with your wife. I have to go to work about the time that it's on, but I'm always hung by the fact that I need to go back and listen to it again. My question has to do with Catholic education. We have it available here in our city, and I was trying to stress to our families that they should be sending their children to the Catholic school, and stressing that it was generations of Catholics that built that school, saved, sacrificed, and that this is a gift that they're putting in front of you to take advantage of. But they're looking at it like it's just another choice, and it's our choice, it's not your choice. And as you were mentioning earlier, there are things that can take kids away from that importance to realizing that importance.
Rose, let me ask you a question. You're talking about your daughter, it says on the board, are they a faithful family? And that they're just not sending their kids to Catholic school, but they are a faithful family, or they don't really practice the faith at all?
No. They practice.
Okay.
You know,
I'm just asking. I wanted to know where kind of we stood here with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, well, look, I think it's important. You know, if Catholic education is wonderful, I support Catholic schools. I support Catholic education. The problem is, though, I think historically we've tended to lean way too much on the school to form our kids, and then we don't practice the faith at home enough. So, for example, a recent study from Holy Cross Family Ministries and the Center for Applied Research of the Apostolate at Georgetown found that only about 17% of Catholic families pray together. Only about 13% of them say grace at meals, right? That includes weekly Mass-attending Catholic families, too. We have a tendency, again, because of that whole monastic and clerical tradition that we see the lens of, that we see Catholic spirituality through, we tend to think of Catholic spirituality as a private and individual thing. And so we haven't really taught our families to pray together. So, you know, as much as I want, you know, your grandkids to go to Catholic school, I want them even more to start praying as a family. And I would actually encourage, because you're going to get better results and increase the likelihood that your grandkids are going to own their faith as adults, if you fight the fight of teaching your daughter and her husband how to pray together as a family, how to encourage your grandkids to have an actual personal relationship with Christ through the sacraments. We talk about a lot of this in our book, Discovering God Together, A Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. And as important as sending your kids to Catholic school could be, it's even more important to be practicing some of these things in the home so that wherever the kids end up going to school, they actually have that encounter of Christ in their home. And so if you have to choose your battles, I would really pick this one of how your kids are living their faith in the home with their kids. And so check out Discovering God Together. It's going to give you some really good insights on the conversations that you want to have with your daughter about how to help your grandkids really own their faith.
Okay. Thank you for that resource. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rose. It's always nice to talk to a fan of Dr. Popcheck. And there are many. There are so many. You got to have a lot.
One or two at least.
I have two already today. But you can't get the title superstar. I believe they have to do some kind of polling to find out if you're a superstar. So I think we're going to go to Maria. No, we're not going to Maria. I think Maria just disappeared on me. Let's go to Paul. Is Maria still there? No? All right. We're going to Paul in Dallas, Texas, listening on 9:10 a.m. Paul. Your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I wanted to know, and I believe you've answered the question, will there be a focus on the importance of the family structure and pertaining to their responsibility to train the child and to children and to lead them in the ways of the Lord? And in this particular situation, the doctrine of the Catholic Church. It seems after my 37 years running Adult and Teen Challenge here in North Texas that the larger percentage of people don't have a functioning family, have not had a functioning family. And so I appreciate everything you've said and the emphasis you pointed out, but will this, and I'm leading up to the real point, will, as a result or the outcome of your conference or seminar, will you have what we call district or regional times where people from all faiths can come and learn from the results of your conference?
We're going to post. We're actually going to post all the talks and all the presentations from the conference are going to be videotaped, and they'll be posted to the website after the event, so it'll be available for anybody who wants to view it. And then we'll also have. So we're going to be looking at the different kind of resources we need to produce to get this message out as much as we can. But you know, your point is tremendously well taken, and I want to highlight something. You know, a lot of times, you know, family ministry starts with how can we empower families to teach kids about the faith or have, you know, a more meaningful faith experience. Where family ministry really needs to start is teaching families how to be family again. You know, we are at a time where families tend to think of themselves as groups of people living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. And that's not enough. You know, you can't disciple kids if all the time you get with your kids is 5 minutes a day driving back and forth from someplace. You know, you have to see family life as an actual activity. And so one of the things we talk about in our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, is what does family life as a faithful activity look like? And one of the main things we talk about is the importance of having small times of connection around work, play, talk, and pray every day, even if that's 5 to 10 minutes for each of those things. You know, you invest 45 to 50 minutes in your family life a day in like 5 to 10 minute blocks. But working together, like, you know, cleaning up the dishes together as a family after dinner, you know, is an important family ritual. But it takes time and intention. You know, getting some time to pray together as a family every day in a meaningful way, even for 5 to 10 minutes. You know, getting some time to play a game or walk around the block together or shoot some hoops or to spend some time playing together is an important family activity. And talking, right? Not just about where do you need to go and what needs to be picked up at the store, but hey, you know, what are you worried about? What's going on? How can we take better care of each other as a family? Those are important conversations that don't come up unless we make a point of having them. And unless we schedule the time for it, those conversations never happen. So, you know, a big part of family ministry has to be teaching families how to be family again and to think of family life as an activity that requires time and requires you know, some scheduling and some effort to make it actually happen. So that's a terrific point. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for that call, Paul. I appreciate it. I've got to take a quick break, but I want to let you know Catholic Answers Magazine, still on sale, one of the finest Catholic magazines in the world. Savings up to $10 on your subscription, 1 or 2 year subscriptions, both on sale. Plus, you get the free digital subscription right now when you subscribe. This offer is good through the end of January, which I believe is fast approaching. Actually, that's Thursday. So sign up now at CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Fallen away Catholic years and years ago, doing my own thing. My mom and dad never gave up on me, and I know it was the Holy Rosary. And they kept after me, Philip, pray your rosary. And eventually I did. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata, Maximilian Kolbe's group. I'm with the Legion of Mary, and I haven't stopped leading the rosary in nursing homes, thanks be to God.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Next hour, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is going to be here. Deacon is one of the hosts of Morning Glory on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we're going to talk a bit with Deacon Harold about, well, balancing faith, family, and work. So this is a big day for those kinds of things that are very practical. We need to deal with those practical things. Again, I want to give you the address of the symposium that we've been discussing with Dr. Greg Popcheck. It's called, or you can go online to cflsymposium.org, cflsymposium.org, and help by answering a few questions there, and that will be a help to the people who are going to gather, experts really in their fields and theologians and psychologists to talk about a new spirituality or how to develop a spirituality for the family in the modern age. Just go to CFL Symposium and put in your answers. CFLSymposium.org. 888-318-7884, the number here. If you have a question about bringing the faith home to your family for Dr. Popcheck, let's go to Ralph in Muscatine, Iowa, listening on 105.3 FM. I know it's cold there, Ralph. Hope you're safe and warm. Your question for Dr. Popcheck.
Oh, I thought the screener would give it to you. We had a hard time getting my concept into a question. How do I say this? A human being cannot pass on to anybody what they do not have within themselves. So developing a new spirituality to me sometimes seems odd as a statement. Spirituality is spirituality. It's nothing new. It may be how you try it and you think you're going to transmit it, but we need to, a lot of people and parents need to trust their deep spirituality and pass it on.
Okay.
And Noble. And I never really had. I thought she was going to give you the question because we had
our time. I appreciate what you're saying. And look, you're right, because spirituality is ultimately a relationship, okay? Especially in the Christian vision of spirituality, it's a relationship with God. But, you know, I can have a relationship with somebody but not know how to communicate the significance of that relationship to you. Like, I could tell you about my mom and I could tell you about my dad and how great they are and whatever, but if I don't actually figure out how to introduce you to them, you'll never actually know yourself how great they are. And the same thing kind of happens in families, right? A lot of times moms and dads, we'll have a good relationship with God, we'll love God with all of our hearts, we've had some kind of experience of God, but we have no idea how to communicate that to our kids in a meaningful way. So when I talk about a domestic church-based spirituality, I don't mean inventing some kind of new religion or something like that. I mean coming up with the language and those practices that allow parents and kids to come together and experience God in a meaningful way in the home. And so, for example, one of the first things we tried to do to address the question is to develop our book. Lisa and I wrote a book called Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. And what we're trying to do is say, you know, wherever you're at in your faith development and your faith life as an adult or as a parent, you know, we all have good stuff to learn, right? And we've all got more to grow. How do we grow together with our kids? How do we invite God into our homes in a more meaningful way and encounter Him in a deeper way together in our relationships? And that book, Discovering God Together, really talks about some of those basic practices that both research and our own experience have really shown to be tremendously effective for doing that. So you make a great point, Ralph. It's not really about a new spirituality so much as it is a new way of communicating that spirituality within the home and living it in a way that makes sense to families.
Ralph?
Yes. I don't think it's a new way. I think it's just they have to communicate it. Families where the father right. and mother communicate it, tell their stories, the child will understand it. You got to trust that. And it will be passed on. And if they're faithful people, it will get passed on. I don't care if there's a lot of words or if your father's artistic and does it in his artistic work, a child will absorb what is really truth passed on, period. Adios.
We will we'll absorb what you passed on to us. Thank you very much for that, Ralph. Let's go to Annette in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Channel 130. That's EWTN on satellite radio. Annette, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hi, Cy and Dr. Popchak. Thanks for taking my call. I have a suggestion, and I want your intake on it. I think when couples decide to get married and they're having their preparatory sessions with a priest or whoever's doing that, one of the questions they always ask are you going to raise your children Catholic? And we always say, yes, I am. But I think that's a great opportunity right there to dig a little deeper to say, you know, how were you raised? And did your parents do it well? Because in my situation, my husband's family parents didn't go to church anymore. And on my side, only my mother went. And there's a lot of things, like you're saying, we should have done, but we didn't. And so I'm thinking, that's a great, profound moment there to say, okay,
oh, you know what, you're absolutely right. And I'll see your suggestion and I'll raise you one. In the course of this conversation that we've been having already, you know, kind of about, in leading up to the symposium, one of the things that's really struck us is that, you know, the one thing that the church, that only the church could give engaged couples is the one thing we don't give them. And that, you know, so when we're going, I'll tell you what it is in a second, but when couples are going through, you know, in marriage prep, you know, they'll get talks on communication and financial management and, you know, their family of origin stuff and, you know, some basic kind of theology of marriage. Maybe they'll even get a talk on NFP if they're really lucky. But what we don't do is we don't teach couples how to pray together. And that's where it needs to start, because if a couple doesn't have a shared prayer life, then that's where, you know, what Ralph was saying, that's where you learn how to share and communicate your faith with the people that you love the most in that shared prayer life. And we need to do more to teach engaged couples how to have a shared marital prayer life. So in the course of that conversation, you know, we've developed a book, Praying for and with Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's published by Word Among Us Press, and it really talks about not just how to say prayers with your spouse, but how to actually develop a meaningful marital spirituality and how to pray together as a couple so that you can experience God in your marriage and then communicate that experience to your kids as you're raising them up. But yeah, absolutely, and that we need to do a better job of teaching couples that the expectation is going to be not just that they do raise their kids Catholic, but how to do that and how to have a meaningful prayer life that allows them to bring Christ in their home.
More than a yes. And then after they get married and the kids start coming, where are the resources to go to get that so you can evaluate? How are we doing it? Are we doing this? So I think we need to go further. So I'm glad that you're doing this. I think it's quite a blessing.
Thank you, Annette. Please pray for us. We could use it.
And go over to cflsymposium.org and fill out that questionnaire that they have for you, cflsymposium.org. Annette, thanks very, very much for that call. We're talking about Bringing the Faith Home with Dr. Greg Popcheck, who helps people do that every day on his radio program and through his life and ministry as a counselor. Again, if you want to contact for counseling, then CatholicCounselors.com is where you can find him. Let's go to Lori in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM. Lori, thanks for being with us. Your question for Dr. Popcheck.
Hello, Dr. Popcheck. I was thinking, I'm a catechist at my parish, and in the same way that you were mentioning how, like, families, it's not so much like teach families how to instill and live out the faith, but teaching families first how to be a family. In my experience as a catechist, the books, the curriculums that we have to use, they have this expectation that the children know the Bible, or they know the basic Bible stories of the Pentateuch, at least, for the sacramental preparation. Do you think the publishers of these curriculums, I don't know if they're all from, like, the 90s or 2000s. There are some, actually, the one my parish is using is, I was like, I approve of this. But it requires the students to know stuff they don't know in order to actually receive.
Well, see, this is the point I was trying to make to I think it was Rose earlier on the show when she called in and saying, you know, that her daughter isn't, you know, sending her grandkids to Catholic school. You know, I mean, obviously I want parents to send their kids to Catholic school. I want parents to give their kids a solid education of faith. I want parents to send their kids to folks like you, you know, who are doing a great job. But you guys, you know, Catholic teachers and Catholic religious educators, they can't do it all, right? So it used to be, for instance, that it would be typical for families to have story time every night at bedtime. But now, because we've forgotten that family life is an activity where you got to do stuff with your kids and actually make time to do this, we don't have time to tell those stories of our faith. And so kids are showing up for kindergarten, first and second grade religious education, and they don't know the story of Adam and Eve. They don't know the story of Noah. They don't know any of the stories that you have to assume that they've already heard, because you can't do it all in, what, an hour, hour and a half a week? You know, how much can you expect out of that time? So we've got to do something as a church to help families rediscover the ministry of family life and start empowering parents to be those primary educators of the faith at home. Otherwise, we're going to completely lose the next generation, because they won't even know those basic stories that civilization just took for granted for all this time. So, yeah, it's a tremendous point, and that's why this is so incredibly important. Thank you, by the way, for the work that you're doing, though. It's tough work, especially today, and we need more people who are passionate about the faith like you, helping parents prepare their kids to experience God at home.
Lori, thanks very, very much for that call. Dr. Greg Popcheck, again, our guest this hour. And so what if I can't wait for the symposium to come out with its suggestions?
Well, you can start with the resources that we've already
okay.
produced. So,
all right, good
our
point.
Book, Discovering God Together, A Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, it's really, again, it's a book that starts to unpack all the stuff we've been talking about on this show already. How can parents begin to bring Christ into their homes in more meaningful ways so that their kids can have that meaningful encounter with Christ and start falling in love with their faith right now? We talk about, like, how parents can identify their kids' stage of faith, because faith evolves in different stages and needs different food at different stages to keep it growing strong. We talk about how to be a faithful family. You know, and we don't presume to have all the answers, but we give folks a good template that they can use and adapt for their unique circumstances. And then for couples who want to have a more meaningful prayer life, they can check out our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. So those two resources, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, and Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids.
Dr. Greg Popcheck has been our guest. CatholicCounselors.com is where you can find out all about him and the work that he does every day. Go over to CFLSymposium.org and answer the questionnaire. Dr. Popcheck, thank you very, very much for a fine hour.
So thank you, and thank you for all the great work you guys do.
Coming up next, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers right here on Catholic Answers Live.